Well, good morning again. It's 11:46, and so we have a workshop that's supposed to start at 11:45, and CCL, of course, we maintain a strict schedule here, you know. So this will be the social media workshop that we're going to do for the next 40 minutes here. One thing I'd like to point out: how many of you all have downloaded the conference app, the Grenadier? Good, good, wonderful. Okay, good. So if you have the conference app, and even if you don't have the conference app, I really recommend that you download it. It's very useful. It's got a lot of useful information. It's got the schedules. The neatest thing that it has on it is that if you click the resources menu on the Grenadine event guide, you can scroll down and you'll see, well, if you click the menu, you'll scroll down and you'll see resources. And when you go to resources, there are handouts for the various sessions and workshops. And so if you want to save some trees, you can download for this particular workshop, you can download the Twitter tips that are in there. So if you go to the event guide, click the menu, go to resources, scroll down, you'll see the handout for Twitter tips in this particular workshop. If you don't have it, or if it's kind of like, oh, I don't want to mess with that thing, I do have some hard copies up here for anybody who wants those. Who would like the hard copy handout? Okay, can I get a volunteer to hand those out? Wonderful, wonderful. That's great. Super. That's this one right here. Yeah. Okay, great. So, is there a question already? My God, I haven't even said anything. Okay. Okay. Oh, you're handing out the. Okay, never mind. Sorry about that. Great. Well, it's wonderful to see you all here. So, we're going to talk a little bit about social media and how to do it. Particularly, I'm going to focus more on Twitter than anything else, because Twitter is probably one of the best ways to engage with your member of Congress, to engage with media, and to also just engage with people who are interested in the climate issue and to enroll new members in your group. So I'm going to, we'll talk a little bit about the information that we got on the Congressional staff survey about social media and messaging to congressional offices. Well, I'll give you a brief introduction to Twitter and some useful tips for getting started on that, and then we'll talk a little bit about messaging members of Congress through Twitter, and then touch just a little bit on how you might also be able to communicate with them on Facebook. So, if we can hold questions till the end here, and then hopefully we'll have a little bit of time left at the end where we can answer some questions. So how do we penetrate congressional offices and get our message through? So right now what we're doing is we, of course, do our face-to-face meetings. We write personal letters. We make phone calls. And we get letters to the editor and op-eds published, and we send those in. Now, we also have social media. So, like 3/4 of the staff on the Hill said that, you know, between 1 in 30 comments on social media platforms like Twitter and Facebook are enough to grab their attention, and 35% that said that fewer than 10 comments were probably enough. So this is a new way that we can kind of break through. Again, you know, nothing beats a face-to-face meeting or a personal letter and so forth. But then beyond that, the congressional staffs are starting to monitor social media and to gauge their constituent interest in issues on things like Twitter and Facebook. So just to give you a little introduction to Twitter here, you know, just a few quick things. Whenever people get started on Twitter, they'd leave the egg up in their Twitter profile photo. They don't put anything in the back. Don't do that. You know, go ahead and put something in. Nothing screams newbie like somebody who's left the egg up on their Twitter profile. And you also want to put something in your Twitter profile that clearly identifies who you are, where you are, and what you're interested in, because when you're trying to attract followers on Twitter, people are going to look at their at your profile, and you want to attract the people who are interested in climate change. You want people who are interested in the things that that you're doing. So I definitely recommend fill out your profile and get some images up there on both the profile spot there, the profile photo, and the banner that goes across the top. We use, as you can see, the photo that we did on the Capitol steps last year. So how do you get followers? the protocol on Twitter is that if you follow somebody, they'll look and they'll say, oh, I've got somebody new following me, and they'll take a look at your profile, and if you're not some psycho, they will probably follow you back. And so that's sort of the basic protocol on Twitter is that. So you can get followers by following other people, but then the question becomes, okay, well, who do you want to follow? So a good place to find new followers is to look at the people who are following people who are heavily involved in the climate issue. So, for instance, here we have Naomi Oreskes, who is the author of Merchants of Doubt. If you go and you look at who are the people following her, you can kind of take a quick look at their profiles. Like, oh, yeah, I'd like to have them following me. I want them. And so you just follow them, and you wait a couple of days see if they follow you back. If they don't follow you back, then cut them loose. Because you don't want to look desperate on Twitter. There's nothing worse than somebody who's following 1,000 people and they've got 50 followers. So you definitely want to, the people who don't follow you back, they're pretty useless to you. So I would just unfollow them, so to speak. And again, like Climate Reality Project, they're another good one that you can go to look for people that might be following you. Bill McKibben, he's a great, he tweets a lot. He's got a lot of followers. So these are good places to go to try to find followers. And again, as I say, the basic protocol is find somebody you want to have following you, follow them, and then see if they follow you back. And another thing that you want to do to attract followers is you want to tweet. Nobody's going to follow you if you're not tweeting. And so for us on our Citizens Climate page, we normally post about 8 or so tweets a day. You don't have to probably post that many tweets, but if you really want to get serious about it, I would post about maybe 3 or 4 tweets a day or something like that. And so then the next question is, okay, well, what do I tweet? And and you also want to kind of strike the right mix. So there's two kinds of tweets. There's kind of informational tweets that you would send out that link to interesting articles, and then there's promotional tweets that promote your organization. And I would say go very light on the promotional tweets and heavy on the informational tweets, because what we've done with our Twitter page on Twitter, what we've done is we've sort of become a resource for people who are looking for the best climate change stories of the day, and that's one of the ways that we've attracted people to our Twitter, and that's how we maintain them. And what's happening is people are kind of looking at our tweets because they know, oh, I don't have to search the internet to find out what's going on climate change. I can just follow Citizens Climate Lobby. I can look at their feed every day, and I can see What are the most important stories of the day that I need to be looking at? And then usually what we do is we mix in one or two promotional tweets. Like we might promote the introductory call, we promote the conference, you could promote meetings that are coming up and things like that. So here are some of the things that you can tweet about from a promotional standpoint. And as I said, you want to go kind of light on those, more heavy on the newsy type of tweets that you might be putting out there. And there are a lot of great resources where you can get those kinds of tweets. The Hill has an energy and environment blog that, latest things that are going on in Congress. Daily Climate has a good kind of digest of the best stories of the day. There's a whole bunch out there. Climate Progress is a good website. Clean Technica, everything involved in the renewables sector and so forth. E&E News is a good one. Most of their stuff is subscription, but they do have a public page with some very good stuff. And Climate Central is another good place to find tweets. And so when you do tweet, there's a couple of things that you want to do to get in front of the people who are interested in the climate change issue. So one of those things, obviously, is using a hashtag. And so just about in every tweet that I send out, I use the hashtag climate. Either it's part of the tweet or I tack it on at the end. Because what happens is people will actually follow a stream on a particular hashtag like climate, and they'll be looking for what's going on in the climate change world simply by following that hashtag. So it's a good way to find new people who might be interested in following you is by making sure that you use hashtag climate in there. Another good way to get people, to attract people, is to include the Twitter handle of organizations or people who have a big following, like Bill McKibben or Sierra Club or something, or 350.org. If you use their Twitter handles, there's a lot of times those people will be following those particular handles and they'll see your tweets there as well. So there's different approaches that you can take in terms of how you want to compose your tweets. First thing I want to point out is that you're going to attract a lot more attention to your tweets. People are going to actually stop and read them if you include an image or a video in your tweet. Now, the images will use up some of your character space, but that's okay. There's a big payoff there in terms of readership if you include some kind of a tip. An image with your tweet, and so that's the first example over there. The other one on the upper right here. Sometimes you can get a little cute. One of the things that you want to do is you want to attract retweets. You want people to retweet the tweets that you are sending out, because not only then do your tweets get out to your followers, but they get out to other people's followers as well. And so sometimes a clever tweet, somebody will see something, oh, that's pretty cool, and they'll retweet it. So like this one up here, call Congress June 23rd, 15 minutes can save you 15% on CO2 emissions in the next 5 years. So people will look at that, they'll chuckle a little bit, like, yeah, okay, I'll retweet that. But most of the time, if you're tweeting articles, the headlines that are on the articles are usually pretty good. I like to personalize them a little bit by having just a little pithy intro at the beginning of the headline. So at the one on the bottom right there, the headline was "Push to impose extra fees on those who install solar," and you notice I used a hashtag with solar for all the people who are following that hashtag. Solar sparks outrage in Utah. So I just put a little intro into it. I said, "Oh no, you didn't," And yeah, just something to add a little personality to your tweet. So So you're getting followers, you know what you want to tweet, you know how to do it and everything. You know, how do you make sense of Twitter? You know, because it's basically like this river of messages. I mean, we've got like 17,000 followers. We're following, you know, about at least 16,000 people. And there's no way I could actually look at every tweet that's coming into our feed. So how do you kind of tame this big river, this fire hose, you know, of messages that's coming in? So what you want to do is you want to take that big river of tweets and break it down into small streams that you can just kind of wade into, you know, where they, you know, the volume of tweets coming in, you know, goes from 20 a second to maybe, you know, 10 a minute or something like that. And the way that you can do that, there are certain tools out there that are very useful for breaking things down into streams so that you can monitor what you are, you know, your tweets that are going out, number one, you can monitor those, but you can also take a look at who's interacting with your tweets and also who's retweeting your tweets. And I'll explain in a minute why it's very important to monitor that stuff. But if you do, you know, Hootsuite is a great application for doing that. As I said, you can see it breaks things down. It breaks the feeds down into different streams. So up here, we've got on the left scheduled tweets. And you can schedule your tweets on Twitter. You don't have to be, you know, chained to Twitter all day tweeting things. What you can do at the beginning of the day is look for things to tweet. And you can actually schedule those tweets to go out through the day. And I recommend that you kind of space them out throughout the day instead of just sending a bunch of tweets out all at one time, because people are going to be looking at Twitter at different times of the day. So you'll be able to snag people, you know, more people if you space your tweets out, because different people will be checking in at different times of the day. So then I have another stream here that tracks the mentions. So a mention is when somebody includes your handle in the tweet. So all the people who are, you know, using at Citizens Climate, I'm tracking that in the mentions stream over here. And then the other stream that's really critical here is the retweets, and I'll explain in a minute what you can do with the retweets. So on Hootsuite, it's pretty easy to set up those streams. You see over on the left there, there's different ways that you can set up a particular stream. And Hootsuite will allow you to do like about 10 different streams on there. So in addition to monitoring your mentions and your tweets and your retweets, what you can also do is you can track different hashtags. You can follow a particular person on Twitter, so you can create all these streams that are pretty useful to be monitoring. You know, so just a little example here. I set up a stream for Coral Davenport, who is a reporter for the New York Times. So you just do a little search, and voila, you've created a stream for her. So you can see what she's tweeting, and then you can also interact with her when she does tweet, and that's a great way, particularly to develop a relationship with a journalist. You know, if there's a reporter at your newspaper, you know, that you want to develop a relationship with, follow them on Twitter, and then monitor the things that they are tweeting and start interacting with them. Or you can just tweet them directly. You know, when they write a story, you can say, "Okay, great story that you did on the." Environmental, pollution of the river in town or something like that. You know, just something to start engaging the media with. You know, so you can do that with them, and as we'll talk about in a few minutes, you can also do that with your member of Congress. So I mentioned that it's probably a good idea to schedule your tweets so that you don't have to be glued to Twitter all day. And with Hootsuite, it's pretty easy. They've got a little tool for scheduling the tweets at a particular time. And you can see on the right there, I had all of these tweets that were scheduled to go out at different times of the day. So then that takes us to the next thing, why you want to be monitoring your tweets. And I call this checking my lobster pots. And the reason I call that is that I kind of look at the tweets that I schedule throughout the day as my lobster pots. And then I come back and I check, who are the people who are, either mentioning us or retweeting our tweets. And so what I did in this particular instance, I came back to check on a tweet that went out, and I saw that there were, something like 13 retweets or something like that. So if you click on, the retweets, it'll show you the people who actually retweeted your tweet. And so number one, what you want to do is, take a look at their profiles and go, oh, hey, this is somebody I want to have following me, and you go ahead and follow them if they're not already following you. So here's a good example. There was a guy named Jeffrey Supran who retweeted one of my tweets, and what is that? Okay. is that my no, that's somebody else's presentation. Okay, great. So I looked at his profile, and he saw that he was in Cambridge, Massachusetts, but he wasn't following us. I said, well, this looks like a guy who should be following us. So I followed him. And then, lo and behold, within the next 24 hours, he was following us. And so then once somebody follows you back, it's kind of like, oh, they're actually interested in us. So then you can start engaging them. If they follow you back, you can tweet them back and you can say, oh, thanks for following. And I saw that this guy was up in Massachusetts. So I asked him a question. Are you connected to our fabulous Boston chapter or something like that? And so the conversation then gets started on Twitter that way by sending out a tweet, seeing who retweeted you, and then start following them. And then if they follow you back, then it's an opportunity to engage with them. And so one of the more surprising ones that happened, I noticed that somebody by the name of Joel Bach retweeted one of my tweets. I said, well, who's this Joel Bach guy? That's who Joel Bach is. All right, cool. So I've followed him, and he followed back, and then started a conversation. And out of that conversation, then that led to a phone call with Mark, and that's how our relationship with Years of Living Dangerously got started, basically through Twitter. So yeah, thanks. So there's a little bit of a problem with Hootsuite. So as I mentioned, you really, really want to include some kind of an image in your tweets, and I'll show you a good example of why you want to include images in your tweets. So last year I sent out a tweet about the conference, and I actually included this was a scheduled tweet, and I included a picture of Catherine Hayhoe. But the picture didn't show up in the Twitter feed. And it's sort of like, well, what's the point? You see where it says view photo? Yeah, if you click on the view photo, you'll see the photo. But the whole idea of having the photo in the feed is to attract attention to the tweet. And so if it's not in the feed, then it's really useless. And so, I got 6 retweets on that, but I thought, well, heck, I should be getting a lot more tweets than that. And so just to conduct a little experiment, the following week, I sent out the same tweet, but I live tweeted it, which allowed for the photo to actually appear in the feed. And if you look there, instead of 6 retweets, I got 40 retweets. So having the image in the tweet really, really helps a lot. But the problem with Hootsuite is that If you attach photos to a tweet that you schedule in Hootsuite, the photo won't appear in your Twitter feed. Now, if you purchase Hootsuite's premium service, then the photos will appear in your Twitter feed. I said, well, screw that. I don't want to pay for it. Okay. So then I went looking around. Okay. Well, what can I do to schedule my tweets? And I discovered that there's another service called Buffer that you can use to schedule your tweets, where the photos will turn up in your Twitter feed. Now, the only problem with Buffer is that to get the streams that you get in Hootsuite, you have to buy their premium service. So the bottom line here is that I use Hootsuite to manage the streams, but I use Buffer to schedule the tweets so that the photos will appear in the Twitter feed. So let's take another look at an example here of this is a fairly recent example. I sent out a tweet about when Trump made his energy speech, and then I got 18 retweets. So I started checking the people who were retweeting, and I saw this guy Randy Shostak, and the name wasn't familiar to me. So I looked at his profile. And it turns out he's in Washington, D.C. He's a journalist, and he writes for the American Geophysical Union. And so I thought, well, hey, maybe he ought to be covering the conference. And so I tweeted him back. I said, thanks for the retweet. You want to cover the Citizens Climate Conference next month? And he, as you see below, he tweeted back, looks interesting. You know, provide me the details for registering and all that. So he gave me his email address, and we connected. And so now he's registered as a journalist to come and cover the conference. So again, another good example of engaging through Twitter, and that leads to something. So the big thing that we want to do now with Twitter is to communicate with Congress on social media. Some of these members of Congress actually do their own tweets. Most of it is probably handled by a staffer, and so what'll happen is the staffer will check the congressman's Twitter feed throughout the day, and then if they see just five or six tweets on a particular topic or something, that's enough for them to alert their boss. Oh, hey, and particularly if you say in the tweet that you're a constituent in their district. You know, that's the thing that they're really, really concerned about. And that's why it's important to put in your profile where you are, so that if they look at your profile, they'll say, oh yeah, they are a constituent. Okay. So that's enough to get the attention of the staffer. And like I say, if there's enough tweets going to them, they'll flag it for their boss. And so here's an example. Here's Paul Ryan. So what you do to find out your member of Congress's Twitter feed, you can just do a search on their name on Twitter, and it'll bring up their page, and you'll see what their handle is. And then so once you know what their handle is, then you can tweet them directly using their handle. So I thought, okay, well I know who Paul Ryan is on Twitter now. What am I going to tweet to him? So there was an editorial in the Wisconsin State Journal in Madison, and you can see the headline there. GOP shouldn't ignore climate concerns. So I set up a tweet that went directly to him. I don't know if you can read that there, but it says dot, and I put a period at the beginning, and I'll tell you why in a second here. Rep. Paul Ryan, please see the Wisconsin State Journal editorial, GOP shouldn't ignore climate concerns, and then there's the link to the editorial. So that was tweeted directly to Paul Ryan. But the reason I put a period at the beginning is that right now, if you put somebody's handle at the beginning of a tweet, basically Twitter is thinking, oh, that's meant only for the person that's at the beginning. But if you put a period in front of it, then your tweet will be visible by everybody. And so there's a chance then that other people might retweet your tweet as well. So that's how you can communicate with your member of Congress. You know, if you have a letter to the editor that you got published, you know, go to the newspaper, get the link for the letter online, and then find out what your congressman's handle is, and just tweet it to them directly. Hi, I'm a constituent. Here's my letter to the editor about carbon fee and dividend that was in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution this week. And you can tweet it to them, and you can get, if you have a number of people in your group who are on Twitter, you can get them to retweet it, and then that will get the letter on their radar. I'm going to hold that for just a minute. So I'm going to, you can do similar thing on Facebook. Facebook is a little bit trickier because you just can't post something on a congressman's Facebook page. What you have to do on Facebook is you have to post a comment on something that they posted on their Facebook wall. So my senator is Johnny Isaacson, and I checked him out for a few days, and I saw that he posted this thing about the EPA, you know, it says, oh, we must stop the EPA from asserting control over thousands of streams and all this other kind of stuff. And so I thought, oh, okay, there's an opportunity. So then I posted a comment underneath it, and I said, hey, market-based incentives are more effective than EPA regulations. And you know the basic message there. And then I provided a link then to carbon fee and dividends. So that's a way that you can also use Facebook to interact with your member of Congress, is by, you know, checking the things that they're posting, and then when there's an appropriate time to post a comment on their post, you can post the comment. So let me check my time here and see how I'm doing. Let's see, 12:17. When does this work? 12:30. Oh gosh. Okay. Let's move here. Okay. So one of the things that you want to do is kind of develop a team approach on this. Like I say, you know, if it's just one person tweeting, might not get too much attention. If you've got 5 or 10 people tweeting on something, that's going to get their attention. So you want to assemble a team of people in your group who agree, you know, just like you assemble like a letter to the editor team, you know, people who, you know, will submit a number of letters to the editor. You want to do the same thing with Twitter. You want to have a team of people who will tweet the things to your member of Congress that you want to call to their attention. So put a team together, and whenever there's something worth tweeting, like an op-ed or a letter to the editor or an action that you want them to take or something like that, you know, notify your team. Hey, we're gonna tweet Congressman Smith today about this letter to the editor that we got published, or something like that. Again, on Facebook, same thing. You know, you can have a team of folks. If you see an opportunity to post a comment, let them know. Hey, you can, you know, post a comment on Congressman Smith's Facebook wall about this. So that's the basics on Twitter that'll get you started, and how you can use it to interact with your congressional offices, to interact with the media, and to find you know, people who are interested in the climate change issue, who you might be able to enroll in your group. So, you know, that's it for now. And so I know there's going to be questions here. So. So I'll kind of go back and forth here. Over, anybody got a question over on this side? Yes.
Quick question, Matt Zinzi from PA06. Uh-huh. Is there a way to direct message members of Congress through their Facebook page?
I suppose if they're following you on or if they've friended you on Facebook, you can. But I probably not. That's just my guess on that. I think, again, the best way I think to get through to them on Facebook is going to be to post a comment on the things that they're posting. Got a question over? Yeah, that in the back there. Yeah.
Thank you very much for telling me about this program, whatever it is, all of that. But one of the important things to getting followers is to retweet engagingly things that they.
Yes. Yes. So what he's saying, a good way to get followers, it, you know, so So I'll give you a good example of that. If you have a stream where you're following, you know, hashtag climate, you can see who's posting, you know, some good tweets on climate change, and you can retweet them. You can retweet their tweet, because they're going to be monitoring their retweets, and they're going to, oh, so and so is retweeting my tweets. Are they are they following me? And you know, they might just start following you simply because you retweeted one of their tweets. Yeah, excellent point there. That's a good way. I'm going to bounce over here. Is there any question on this side? Yes.
Thanks, Steve. This is great. My question between Hoot and Hootsuite Buffer, do you use them? Is it back and forth? Do you use the one all the time?
I use Buffer exclusively to schedule the tweets, and I use Hootsuite to monitor the tweets.
So will the Buffer schedule tweets show up in your streams in Hootsuite?
Oh, yeah. All the tweets that go out will show up in your stream on Hootsuite, definitely. Yes.
So I've been afraid of doing any of this stuff because of the mind time suck that seems to be going on.
Uh-huh.
You're a professional.
Right. So you're thinking that there's a lot of time that gets wasted trying to, you know, do all of this stuff.
Do you spend on this?
I mean, I do it pretty heavily. You know, like I say, I'm posting like 8 tweets a day, and I'm monitoring stuff. I do probably about 2 hours a day with it. You probably wouldn't. Yeah, but I'm doing it for the whole organization. I would say you could probably, if you're posting like, you know, 3 or 4 tweets a day, it wouldn't take you more than about, you know, 30 minutes to an hour to schedule those tweets and then check back on them later on. Yeah. Anything on this side? Oh, in the back.
Yes. My name is Rich Russ from Athens, Georgia.
Hey, Rich.
I'm 70 years old and I'm digitally impaired.
Uh-huh.
Thank you very much. And, I can write. I use Facebook. I use email a lot. It's great stuff.
Uh-huh.
I'm a public librarian, and I just say, go to your public library, and I'm from Michigan, Wisconsin, anyway. We're teaching social networking classes and digital classes all the time. That's the answer.
Great, thank you. Asked and answered. That's good. Good, good, great. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Kevin DeGester from Salt Lake City, and Twitter handle is at KB DeGester. And but anyways, I'd like to suggest that we have a hashtag for promoting our LTEs and op-eds as CCL, because that way you can just go to the hashtag and then retweet. Because
Ooh. Likes
and clicks
uh-huh.
are what, that's the monetization.
Okay, that's an excellent idea. So let's take a quick vote on this. Who do we want to separate out, the LTEs and the op-eds, or do we just want to do like hashtag CCL media?
Same
media. Yeah. CCL media. Okay, we'll start using hashtag CCL media, and then you can follow that hashtag and see all the stuff that's getting published out there and retweet it if you want.
We support the newspapers.
Exactly. No, that's great idea. Love that. Yeah, right here.
I have a question on strategy. I have a chapter to our Rhode Island chapter as a Twitter account, and I have my personal one. In terms of what's more effective for reaching out to members of Congress, should I start with my personal one?
Mm.
But the chapter one has more followers.
Right. I would just do both. I would do both. You want to, you know, put it out on your chapter one so that you can attract more retweets for your tweet, but then, you know, use the personal one, you know, so that you know, the staffer who's monitoring it will say, oh, this is a constituent here. I'll, you know, this is important. Terry.
I'm concerned about open contact with people. Like, I was paying attention to stuff about when you're scheduling with representative staff, like send short emails, don't send them too many. Is it better for us to email stuff like that? I mean, stuff like an LTE would be better for us to email it or tweet it or do both?
Okay, so are you talking about sending it to the congressman's office? Do both. Do both, yeah, yeah. And, well, the liaison is the one who should email the congressman's office with the link to the letter to the editor. But then also, you know, have your group, you know, tweet it to them too. You know, one way, you know, it doesn't hurt to have, you know, too many different, you know, hits in terms of, you know, getting their attention. Let's see, we're supposed to wrap up at 12:25, and it is, I'm going to take one more question in the back here. Okay.
I thought it really helps give my team a goal.
Uh-huh.
How many followers do you need to have to, you know, be perceived as serious? Do you remember from your journalist?
Oh, gosh. I don't know that they really, I don't know that the journalist really cares too much, you know, how many followers you have. You know, if you're engaging them with good story ideas, it doesn't matter how many followers you have. But I would say, I mean, we've got 17,000 followers now for us. I mean, for a local chapter, if you want to set a goal, I would set a goal for, you know, getting, you know, to start out, you know, like maybe 500 followers, something like that. You know, if you're a goal-oriented person. So I think our time is up. But thank you very much, and go forth and tweet.